The 5 Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Leadership. Try our free app, available on all mobile platforms, for daily leadership content including blogs, webinars, and more. Visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store.
Hey, and welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins. Today, we have the pleasure of asking our 5 leadership questions of Dave Ferguson, who is a pastor and a friend, yes. Although, as you will hear in the episode, we do owe Dave an apology because we didn't treat him very much like a friend in waiting so long to have him on the podcast. Yeah, and we get to some of that. But Dave is the founder of the New Thing church planting movement. And so they have, is it 1,000 churches? Is that? Yep. So 1,000 churches, and that's worldwide. So we're talking Africa, East Coast, India, West Coast, Europe, worldwide. All over the United States, a little bit in South America. He is the president of the Exponential Conference, so one of the larger church planting conferences and networks. And then he's also the lead pastor of Community Christian Church, which has, I believe, 13 campuses, mostly around the Chicagoland area. So I used to drive by one of those campuses every Sunday on my way to church. So I feel bad saying that because I just realized it makes it sound like I skipped Dave's church. But I had friends who went there. They loved it. So
what exactly is Chicagoland? Is that like Disneyland?
No, yes, it's just like Disneyland. It is the place of happiness and fun and princesses.
But no other city refers to themselves as something land, do they? Like Atlanta land, Dallas land.
No, most people are like the greater whatever area. But it's basically it's Chicago proper, which is only like 2 or 3 million people.
Yep.
But then the Chicago land area is all the suburbs, so almost all the way up to the Wisconsin border.
Okay.
It's like halfway to Iowa, and then it wraps all the way around to northwest Indiana.
They threw the land.
Yeah. It's not Chicago Lake. It's Chicago land.
Okay.
But anyway, Community Christian Church is his church there. He is the co-author of 5 different books, including one called Exponential, another one called Finding Your Way Back to God, which is that's his most recent book. Came out a little bit over a year ago. He leads off the conversation talking about how his mission is helping people find their way back to God. And so that book is sort of the heart of his ministry. He is married to Sue, and they have been married for about 25 years. I think he said a little bit longer than he's been at the church or in ministry. 26. So 25, 26 years.
Yep.
And then they have 3 grown children, and he tells a little bit about their stage in life and all of those things. So it's a great conversation we have with Dave. Before we get to it, though, we do want to highlight our sponsor,
yes.
Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. You have heard us mention them on the podcast a few times. They are a great partner of Lifeways, the great partner of Lifeway Leadership. They do among the best jobs of training people for ministry, whether that's lay ministry, international missions ministry, pastoral ministry, kind of whatever realm people are going into.
It's a good balance of theological and practical.
Yes, they're not just sort of heady systematic theology types. They do a fantastic job of focusing on missiology, focusing on culture, and so blending theology and culture. We've had their president, Danny Aiken, and what is his title, Bruce Ashford? Is it provost?
Provost.
Okay.
He's my, again,
so the provost oversees provost. The faculty, is that right? Is that
yeah,
sort
he's
of,
the only provost yeah. I know, but that shouldn't stop you from...
Both of them have been on the podcast, kind of nearer to the beginning, so if you scroll back in the archives, both are great interviews. You get to hear the heart of the seminary there, and they do a great job of representing their seminary. But they have an offer for listeners. If you are interested in exploring advanced education so that you can get multiple master's degrees there, they have a full MDiv program. They've actually condensed their MDiv program. So instead of being, something like 100, 120 credits, it's now down in the 80s. And so it's a more manageable length. They also have distance education options. So if you serve somewhere else in the country or even internationally, you can still study there without having to be relocate to beautiful Wake Forest, North Carolina. And it is beautiful. It's a lovely campus, but that may not be feasible for everybody. But if you go to sebts.edu/5LQ, so that's Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/5LQ, you can learn more about them. You can see the programs they offer. And then if you go through the application process, be sure to use the code 5LQ when you get to the checkout portion, and you will actually get a discount you'll get a discount on your application process. So again, SEBTS slash 5L, sebts.edu/5LQ, and then use that code 5LQ if you choose to apply to Southeastern Seminary. Thanks for listening. You will love this conversation that we had with Dave, and here it is. Hey, we are here today with Dave Ferguson, who, as you heard in the intro, is the pastor of Community Christian Church in the Chicago area, along with a number of other bona fides that we talked through and highlighted. But rather than rehashing all of that, let's just welcome Dave to the podcast. So, Dave, thanks so much for being on the Five Leadership Questions podcast with us.
My pleasure, Barnabas. Thanks, Todd.
Hey, I just want to say one thing about Dave. He's been here from the very beginning, meaning... Well, a beginning of time. He
That's
is
right.
an old man. No.
An old soul.
I think
at the
he's
very
like
least.
Maybe a year older than me, so I can't call him an old man. But I will say this, you know, in the very beginning when I first came to Lifeway, I think it was me by myself, and they said, hey, open up a new leadership division for Lifeway. And so Dave was one of the first people I called and said, hey, will you be a part of our advisory council?
And he was.
And he was. And he still offers advice from time to time. But just really appreciate your work, Dave, and the work of New Thing. And we've not only gotten to know you, but we've gotten to know your ministry, mm-hmm. and it really is a real deal. And so we're just grateful and gracious to call you a friend and to have you on our podcast. It has been far too long. We're like over...
Yeah, we're like 120 something episodes in, which means we probably owe you an apology.
So I'm so near and dear to your heart.
No. No, you cannot do this to me right now.
Other people before. Hey, maybe Ferguson's available this
time. No, we've reached out. I just want to say we've reached out. It just never happened.
We wanted to make sure we knew what we were doing.
That's right. We didn't want to embarrass ourselves.
Before we talked to you, because you deserved better than yeah. you know, what we used to do.
It's like you had me and then you lost me.
That's right.
At some point. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, before we jump into the five questions, if you could just share a little bit about your current ministry, your role in leadership, a little bit of your story, how you got there, just whatever things that would help our listeners know who we're talking with today. Tell us a little bit about your family, because we have a question about that later. So that gives a sense of who you are.
Sure. Probably at the core of everything I try to do, kind of a bullseye. It's about helping people find their way back to God. And, that's the mission of the church that we started over 25 years ago, called Community Christian Church. Mm-hmm. We have multiple locations across the Chicagoland area, and I love leading and being a part of that. One of the best ways to help people find their way back to God is to start brand new churches. And so we launched something about 10 years ago called New Thing. It's a global church planning network. There's over 1,000 churches that are committed to reproducing, that are a part of that. And in order to encourage as many of the people to plant churches and think about how do we reproduce not only churches but networks and movements, I am the president of a conference called Exponential. And we've got a whole ton of people that keep coming to that thing. And so all of that really kind of comes back to that one thing I really want to do, is help people find their way back to God. And there's a lot of different ways I go about it. I've been married for... a little longer than we planted the church, so over 25 years. It's my wife, Sue, and then I have three kids. My daughter, Amy, who's the oldest, who's a social worker. My son, Josh, who just graduated from college and is getting ready to go on a four-month around the world with a buddy of his, kind of Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, New Zealand trip. I'm extraordinarily jealous.
As am I. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I know. Can you...
I want to do a walkabout. I need a walkabout.
That's right.
For 4 months, waking up every day going like, what do I do today?
Oh, I go look at cool stuff while my dad works.
Nairobi. I think I'll go on a safari.
Yeah, that's... I wish I could go back in time and do that. That sounds awesome.
He kind of came to me about 6 months ago. Hey, me and my friend are thinking about doing this. What do you think? Because I'm thinking about going to grad school afterwards anyway. I was like, totally do it. So anyway, he's doing that. And then I also have a youngest one who just graduated from high school. He's getting ready to go to college.
So you're an empty nester then?
Well, not officially, but I will be by September. So
okay, there you go.
This is going to be plain, but by the fall of 2016, I will be, yes.
How you feel about that?
there's part of me that's really excited because I think it'll be fun for Sue and I. But like when we got married, part of the deal was to have kids. That was Sue's deal. I never even thought about having kids, but I knew I loved her, so that was part of the deal. Having kids has been the greatest surprise, in a good way, of my entire life. I had no idea that I would love it this much. So, like right now, I can almost feel myself getting emotional right now. So it makes me sad to think about that season that they're passing. But so there's a sadness to it, but also an excitement about what's ahead.
It's okay, Dave. Everybody cries on our show. So if you just want to let that out.
I'm crying because I was your 127th pick.
We are a little bit Oprah-esque. It's very emotional. It's a very warm, safe place. So feel free to emote and express yourself. It's just fine.
Doesn't that put me like a sixth round or something of the draft?
No.
Think of it like Amazon rankings. If your books were at number 127 on Amazon, wouldn't you feel good about yourself?
I would feel good about that.
There you go. Let's go with that one.
Okay, we'll go with that then. Nicely done.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you our first question, and I am very personally intrigued by this one. I'm always intrigued by our guest answers.
Mm-hmm. This one is always the most – well, this one and the last one are the two that we get the most fun answers on.
That's true. Who are you learning from right now?
Who am I learning from? A few things come to mind. One of the things I try to do during the month of July, the last couple of years, is I don't know why I have a weird aversion. I don't want to call it a sabbatical because that seems lame to me, although I know everybody else does it. I mean, what other job do you get is like a sabbatical? Oh, don't work. So I do this thing where I work on what I call my RPMS, which is relational, physical, mental, spiritual. So it's kind of my own self-leadership thing. And one of the things I do is I kind of try to connect with certain people. And so like last year, the whole race thing was a really important topic. And so we got a guy in our new thing network called who's Michael McBride at the Way Christian Center.
Mm-hmm.
And a brilliant leader. He's in Berkeley, California. And he was saying, hey, we're having our 10th anniversary coming up. And we got Cornel West, who's going to be to speak. Yeah.
There you go.
Like, I don't get to hang out with Cornel West every day. We're not exactly in the same circles. But I was like, you know what? I would love to learn and hear from somebody like that. So got to go out there, hang out with both of them. I'm basically the only white guy in a whole, you know, in multiple African-American settings. And I consistently find that it's really good for me to be in settings with people who aren't like me, who don't always think like me, and that kind of helps me learn. And that was that awesome kind of experience. A little more subtle and boring this year. I've been trying to, we've been doing this multi-site thing for 15 years, one of the early ones on it. So I was kind of going like, okay, what things have changed? Talked to some different people about multi-site stuff, spent some time with Jim Tomberlin, learning about that. So that was good. And there's a bunch of stuff, I don't know, a bunch of stuff I'm reading too, if you want to know about that.
Oh yeah, fire away. We love book recommendations.
Have you guys read Grit?
It's on my wish list. I have not yet purchased or read it.
It's good. It's a quick read. Well, I mean, it's like most books. You don't have to read all of it.
except for the ones that you wrote, Dave. People have to read all of those
cover to cover.
You know, it's funny, actually. The Exponential book, they translated it into German. I did a conference in Germany, and they actually left out the whole last section. And because it gets a little grandiose, because at the end I started talking about reproducing networks and movements, and the guys in Germany said, well, that's a little too big for us. We don't really. Can we just leave that out? It's like, okay. So anyway, so you're right. You don't always have to read the whole book. Her whole premise is kind of this idea that what she calls grit or effort really is probably counts twice as much as talent or skill. And it was fascinating because she talks about how we get enamored with skill, whether it's in the arts or whether it's in sports or even in business or even the church. We get enamored with talent. But she says, and she writes out this, lays out this equation: talent plus effort creates skill. Okay, so talent plus effort creates skill. And then she says, but then skill plus effort equals achievement. And so it always takes this, you know, and it's a little bit of you know, the what's the guy's 10,000 hours?
The 10,000 hours rule.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of that kind of just that constant. And she talks about this grit being kind of passion and perseverance. When you take talent, you put passion and perseverance with it, then you get skill. When you have skill and you put passion and perseverance with it, then you get achievement. And Duckworth, she does this, she makes this point because she studies, gives a case study, West Point. And she talks about the only common denominator of the people that actually move forward at West Point is what you're talking about here, is this grit and this passion and perseverance. It's not the talent, it's not their grade point average, it's not their ACT or SAT scores. The ones that actually make it through, is the ones that have the most common denominator is this grit. And then she actually gives you a deal if you want to, if a staff team wants to, you can actually have people interview, you can kind of get a grit quotient, helps you understand them a little better before you hire someone.
Is that a GQ?
The grit quote. Nice.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
any other books or resources that come to mind that you're learning from right now?
I've been digging a lot of Lencioni's stuff for a long time, and I finished his Ideal Team Player.
That's his latest, right?
Yep. His book, The Advantage. It's kind of like the best of.
Yeah.
It's all in one, kind of a one stop, which I thought was great. We actually, after that, we went out and hired Lencioni's group to work with our lead team, which has been good. But his book, Ideal Team Player, for anybody who didn't get he also spoke at the Leadership Summit. Mm-hmm. He basically lays out, here's the three things that make for an ideal team player. Humble, hungry, as in they'll put in the extra effort, kind of the grit quotient again, and then also smart. And when he says smart, he doesn't mean...
So he didn't like, quite steal from Brad Lomnick, the humble, quite, hungry, and hustle?
That's a good point. Sorry, Brad. Smart is the third one, which is more of a relational intelligence.
Yeah, and, sorry, Brad.
Well, Brad doesn't really know Lindsay. Oh, wait.
What number was Brad? Oh, wait, he does. What number was Brad? I bet he wasn't in the hundreds. What was he?
He was early.
Yeah.
I just want to tell
you. Quick change.
No. Look. I'm gonna pull something around in front of Barnabas now. I want you to tell me the date at the top of this email.
Look at that. I see an email from Todd Adkins to Dave Ferguson that is dated July 8th of 2015, inviting you to be on the podcast. That was 15 months ago.
It is. It's well, around 14 months launched. Ago. It says the standard email is below, but we would love to have you or John on the podcast.
Oh, that's why he blew us off, because we didn't just
Any
invite him.
Air support that you can give as we launch would be appreciated. And then the standard email was below about asking for various and sundry tweets. So I'm just going to put it out there, Dave.
Did I not have your back on that one, Todd?
I think you may have given us some.
You actually
some support.
Said glad to do it. Anytime I can help out with this kind of stuff, please just ask. And I'd love to do the podcast sometime.
Well, here's sometime. time keeps on ticking.
So I think technically I just outed myself because there's no reply from me.
Okay. And it yes the truth,
and it continues.
The truth will come out.
We should probably ask our second question.
Yes, let's ask the second question. Since now that Todd has stuck his foot in his mouth again. The second question is: what's the main point of emphasis for your leadership right now, either for your team or for yourself and growing as a leader? And I'm interested to hear this one specifically because you obviously have your church, Community Christian, that you lead, and then you have New Thing, and so you have multiple hats that you wear in church planting and network and local church. So what is that main point of emphasis right now?
Well, and you're right. I always kind of think it, and I think of my life in kind of at least three expanding concentric circles, kind of community and the New Thing and then exponential. So recently with community, we've been kind of focused on both culture and church health. We did the Best Christian Workplace Institute stuff and got certified as the Best Christian Workplace. And there were some really good tweaks that we made there. So that's been an emphasis. And then we're in the middle of another capital initiative. So we're raising $24 million. We're going to start a couple campuses and hopefully 10 churches and three new facilities and some other stuff like that. So that's been a lot of effort. What else is going on here at community? John and I, along with the lead team, have been working on, like I said, we had the Lencioni group came in and helped us with just how we structure our meetings. We're doing this. So we're like in his book, The Advantage. He talks about that, doing the 10-minute stand-up meeting every day.
Yes.
So we've started doing that. But since we're all over the Chicago, we do a 10-minute call at 7:50 in the morning every day. And then we also kind of structure our meetings the way he's doing it. I like it a lot. I think it's helping with communication and getting things done a lot more efficiently. If you read Giuliani's book, not the recent Giuliani, the old Giuliani. one of the things he talks about when he was mayor of New York in his book Leadership, he talks about how they did that, and he used kind of as an example. He said, you know, people would come to the meeting, and you'd have, oh, we got a pothole on, you know, 9th Avenue. And if you wait a week, you get an update on the pothole a week later. And then a week after that, oh, yeah, we finally got it fixed. But if we have a daily meeting, you find out about it on Monday, you get the update on Tuesday, it gets fixed by Wednesday. Just, yeah. You know, it's an example, speeds things up. And we're starting to see that to an extent.
Have you read the book Team of Teams by Stanley McChrystal and some of his various business partners?
No, I've not.
Based on the books that you've recommended, I suspect you'd really like it. It's another one that you can read pretty quickly to draw out the principles. But so McChrystal was the general who oversaw the sort of the joint task force of special forces in the Middle East for several years. And he talks about bringing all of those different entities together and how they would also have a daily call with so representatives from, you know, the CIA, the NSA, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, all these different people, and with the similar effect of trying to get everybody on the same page so that all the information was properly shared and those kinds of things. I bring it up mainly to recommend the book because it's really helpful for people who are leading in networks where there's a lot of disparity between where people are and what people are doing, but similar principles to what you're talking about.
Team of Teams?
Team of Teams.
That's good. Thanks. So, I mean, so that's kind of what's, well, I guess actually too, and I'll put in a plug for you guys, you know, Will Mancini. We were, mm-hmm. John and I spent some time with Will yesterday because Will and his book, God Dreams, he's helping us think a little more long-term again about, okay, where are we taking this thing? And I felt like the Lencioni group did a lot better job kind of in the short term. Both meetings and kind of 90-day strategic or 6-month strategic objective. So that's a little bit. With New Thing, things have just kind of exploded, and we're trying to figure out how do we scale this to actually be something that's not just North American but really global. So we're placing a New Thing director in Sub-Saharan Africa. And we're getting ready to place one. We'd like to have another one in India. And then we're also getting ready to find a replacement. We have someone in North America. And we're looking at 9 different regions around the world. It's part of that isn't like a world dominance kind of thing, but more of, I know it sounds creepy. Pastor Oscar Muru, since Pastor Oscar from Nairobi Chapel, I don't know if you know, do you know Oscar?
Nope.
No.
He's killing it, just killing it in Nairobi. So he hooked up with New Thing, and he has this vision too, which we kind of also bought into in addition to the multiplication vision of how the different parts of the body of Christ need each other, not just in a local church way, but like we need to learn from the church in India because they know what it's like to go through persecution and still love Jesus. The church in Africa is the fastest growing, the most evangelistic part of the body of Christ. He contends that we also need the church in North America because we understand a lot of things about strategy and leadership that the rest of the body could benefit from. So we're trying to figure out how do we do that so we can really learn from each other and then grow in that way and hopefully be an example that then others can also do better in the future. So
I appreciate that it was almost a concession that they need the North American church because we tend to think so highly of ourselves that it's probably good to hear the perspective that it's like, yeah, well, I guess we need those guys too. They're all right.
Well, and they do. I mean, actually, and Oscar, he's the guy who helped plant a guy named Marathi at Mavuno Church, which is also a brilliant church. Both of them have a real, I think, healthy understanding of you know what, I mean, the North American church, in an appropriate way, we're not the center of Christianity anymore.
Right.
But we do have a part to play. You guys have been very well resourced by God's blessing. You do understand some things about leadership, and so we need you at the table. But the fastest growing part is probably in either places like in India or in Africa.
And then South America, parts of South America are exploding as well.
Yeah, Brazil especially.
So In fact, we have a leadership training center we opened up at one of our locations, and basically we have a three-track model that's modeled after what we learned from the folks at Nairobi Chapel.
Good deal. Well, inevitably, if you're doing that much stuff in that many places, you're going to have some obstacles. So question three is always, what obstacles are you currently facing in leadership? So that's either for your organization, for your church, or you personally.
I think there's like a personal kind of integrity issue that I'm struggling with as we continue to grow and expand. Because one of the things I've constantly kind of, and I have kind of preached and taught, and I still believe, is that you reproduce who you are. And so I've always like led a small group and had an apprentice leader because I think that's what other people ought to do.
Yep.
And one of the things we also encourage all our leaders to do is to use what we call our blessed practices. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, share your story. And I think it's a time where I need to rethink my schedule. I feel like I'm having a hard time actually doing all the stuff that I'm preaching. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
He meant yes, that makes perfect sense.
What did I say?
You said no.
Okay. Yes. That makes perfect sense. I think I was trying to be empathetic and be like, no, Dave, that's where I am too.
Well, it does make sense because it is much easier. It's way easier to tell other people how they should do things than to do things right yourself.
Totally.
And especially when those things take discipline and sacrifice and, you know, structure and orderliness and, you know, sort of shaping life around those things, that's a hard thing to do. So it's much easier to talk about being in community than it is to go do the work of being in community.
Here's my deal. The last, it has been, I'm embarrassed how long it's been since I've had a disciple.
Yeah.
Since I've personally discipled a young believer. I mean, you know, it's embarrassing. It's easy to do once you get outside of the church context. Like, you know, for me being a pastor, it was a regular rhythm that I had developed, and I developed a system and a process to make sure that I was always doing that.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, I've got to figure that out. In the last 2 weeks in particular, I've really been, you know, personally convicted about that. So just like on Twitter, when I out myself, I'm outing myself now on the podcast to help keep myself accountable.
Yeah, every piece of good advice that we give is a piece of advice to ourselves.
Well, part of it, too, is I think one of the most important things we do as leaders is we create culture. We're mm-hmm. culture creators. And if we're not doing the stuff that we're telling other people to do, then by definition, we're creating cultures that are saying, you only have to listen to me talk about this. You don't actually have to do any of it. And so that's the part that, I mean, I've kind of, you know, preached that over and over and over again. And I find myself right now in a season where I'm going like, I don't feel like I'm doing the kind of stuff that I'm telling everybody else needs to be done, which to me then says, I'm probably not doing life the right way. So I don't feel like I'm in a crisis place, but actually, because you sent me the questions ahead of time, it made me think about going like, yeah. And so it was actually a good question. So I want to lead by example. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's encouraging to hear a leader like yourself talk about that because you led with it as an intent.
You just talked about your network has planted 1,000 churches. And then we have this conversation. That's what I think is beautiful about this.
Well, and you called it an integrity issue. Like, you didn't just say, hey, there's this little thing I need to work on. You said this is an integrity issue because it's the kind of thing that if over the course of the next year you just simply didn't do the things that you preach, that is a lack of integrity. So to hear leaders press into the area of struggle, of weakness, or just of saying, I need to improve on this so that I can lead with integrity. I think that's just that very basic day-to-day leadership investment is the kind of thing that I benefit from for certain, but then I think our listeners do as well in hearing, because it's not grandiose, it's not vision, it's simply saying, I told people to do this and this is a good way to do things, and I need to back it up by investing in it myself.
Yeah. And one of the things I kind of try to ask myself too is, okay, if everybody else lived the way I'm living, would we accomplish the mission?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
And well, you could add it, you'd have six questions now. and so there's part of me, when I ask, I'm going like, no, I think we got some blind spots here. Because, you know, you're telling everybody else they need to have an apprentice and they need to lead by example. And what are you doing about a leadership resident? You know, church, you know, so there's a few things I'm, okay. But anyway, that's one thing.
Well, one of the things, Dave, that I think is been most troubling for me and Eric, and it may be for you as well. We've been talking a lot lately about all the friends that we have that are, you know, in a similar age range, that left and right, people that we love, people that we've done ministry with in the past, people that are you know, our friends now, keep getting shot out of the saddle. And I'm talking about pastors and church leaders and leaders.
Get shot out of the saddle, or they're shooting themselves in the foot?
They're shooting themselves in the foot. Okay. And one of the things that you said reminded me of something that Eric said that I have, like, has basically it's been very good for my relationship with Christ the last couple of weeks, because we're trying to nail it down. And he said, if you don't repent, if you can't tell me what you repented of yesterday, then you're not in a good place. You're in a bad, you're in a precarious position, because it's the whole idea of almost, it is a daily repentance so yeah. that my heart is not hardened and I become callous and blind to,
yeah.
to what's going on.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I think in a weird way, the larger things get, or the more successful they get, I think sometimes it can become more challenging to do that.
Yeah. Pete Scazzaro, in his book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, had a quote that I don't remember quotes verbatim very often from books, but this one stuck with me because it was so similar to what Todd just said. And it was, if you're not concerned about your heart growing hard, it already is. And that was sort of a slap in the face, just as it's sort of like the wake up, like snap out of it kind of thing, because that does speak to the need for daily repentance and just sort of daily gauging. Am I tender to the things that God is convicting me of? Am I willing to follow where He's leading? Am I aware of my own weaknesses? Just basic spiritual self-awareness.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hit our fourth question. And you talked a little bit about your family at the beginning, your wife, Sue, and your three kids, who by the time this airs will all be gone from your home. So I'm interested to hear how this question is answered, because things are shifting. And the question is simply, what does leadership in your home look like? So you can answer how it has looked, or you can answer how you anticipate it looking, or take whatever direction you want.
The leadership in our house, I know I'm probably supposed to be the head of the house and all that. It's like every person in our house thinks they're supposed to be the boss.
I mean, that sounds a lot like my house.
The old Gary Smalley used to have these personality profiles: lion, otter, beaver, golden retriever.
Yes.
And the lion was the take charge. Everybody, all five of us are lions.
That is my house as well.
It's a pride.
There you go. So that's the truth. And in some ways, it's kind of good, though, too, because Sue, my wife's a very strong personality. And I think if she wasn't, it would probably be really bad for me. So she's not afraid to, you know, to get in my grill and kind of say, hey, are you being who you're supposed to be in this way and that kind of stuff? So that's the reality of that situation there. But we are making the shift. So was it 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago? I kind of like to plan everything. So I've been, one of the things I was doing part of the summer was also kind of like trying to think through, okay, what's it going to mean to be have an empty nest? And so Sue and I had a little summit. We went out to dinner and talked through things.
A summit. You are a church leader.
I like that.
Serious.
I had a summit with my spouse.
Honey, can I ask you out for a summit?
I showed up with like four pages of ideas about what it means to be an empty nester.
Did any of them involve your wife's feelings?
I don't know.
Plead the fifth.
Well, I was very, because I know she wants to travel more, so that was in there. Does that count?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely taken her desires and her wishes into account.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, again, like I said, she's a strong personality, so she's not afraid to make her feelings known, and I knew she would. So basically, yeah, we kind of tried to get a little bit of a game plan and going, okay, hey, this is going to be different. How are we going to try to handle this? And I don't know if a lot came out of it, but at least we're kind of both bracing for it. And she is going to travel with me more, which will be fun.
You're going to Norway, get great shirts.
She was supposed to.
Other apparel.
She was supposed to and did not, which bums me out. But we're going to Europe in October because Exponential is going to have its first deal over in Manchester. So she's going to go there with me, and then we're going to go hang out in London for a few days where I'm going to have lunch with I'm kind of jacked about this. Nikki Gumbel.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, Nikki and I think his wife Pippa. So we're having lunch. So anyway, Sue's going to go with me on that. That'll be part of, you know, this new era together. My son Caleb, he runs cross country, and track. So we'll also be making a lot of trips to watch him do that. But it's definitely going to be different.
Good deal. Well, I'm afraid we're rounding the bend.
Did I put you guys to sleep?
No, not at all. I was just trying to give Todd a cue.
Yawn.
What?
7 second yawn.
Go back to 20-year-old Dave.
Yes.
What would you tell 20-year-old Dave about preparing to lead?
Well, and if it's 20-year-old Dave, then I'm assuming the same kind of gifts and passions that God gave me. I think I would say, hey, you know what you should do? You need to make sure that you put in your calendar more time to dream. You are an activist, and you're making things happen. You're starting stuff from scratch. But you need to make sure, because I think part of the way God made your brain and your person is to give you ideas about how to advance the kingdom, and you need to make sure you sit still, quiet, get to the right places, the right people where you have time to dream and not just implement. I look over my shoulder. I think I should have done more of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say dream, in that context, it sounds, I mean, you said, you know, get to a quiet place. It sounds a lot like, listening, meditation, you know, biblical meditation, you're listening for God's direction. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Because dreaming is a bit of a buzzword, you know, in sort of the entrepreneurial realm where, you know, chase your dreams and those kinds of things. So what, I don't know, I guess it's just sort of flesh that out a little bit, what you mean by it.
If I was going to get really practical with the 20-year-old Dave, I would say, work into your schedule at least one day a month where you're either by yourself, kind of thinking through things, reading different things, listening to different things, or interacting with different people, but mostly by yourself, sometimes in prayer, but just trying to hear from God on, okay, where should you take this thing next? Where should you be investing your energy next?
Okay, yeah, that's really helpful because, like I said, I think dreaming is a thing that, I mean, it can become very self-centered very quickly. You know, we chase our dreams. We create a future in our minds that we, you know, we want to build and be part of. And it doesn't necessarily include God's will or where he's directing us.
Right. No, you're probably saying it better than I did, but that's exactly right.
Good deal.
All right. Well, I have one more question that's not on the list.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, you go first, Todd. Mine's completely unimportant.
Mine is too.
Oh, okay.
You'll figure.
You go first.
How long have you had facial hair?
How long have I had facial hair?
Yeah, because ever as long as I've known you, you've had facial hair.
I
was trying to picture 20-year-old Dave.
I think since high school.
Okay, so 20-year-old Dave looked a lot like this Dave.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I'm just wondering, him or Paul Tripp?
Different versions.
Who goes back further?
Were you a sideburns guy at any point?
Yeah, but they're not real thick, so it doesn't
gotcha.
Work.
Yeah, me okay.
Yeah.
My question is way more pressing than Todd's. I didn't realize his was so trite. How can you be a leader of character and a White Sox fan?
Dude.
It baffles the mind.
Oh, you're not a Cub fan, are you?
No, I'm a Twins fan.
Oh, I hate the Twins too, but not as much as I hate the Cubs.
Well, you have a lot to hate this year because the Cubs are doing exceptionally well. But no, I'm a Twins fan and we're terrible. But for
your information, it's August, right?
Yes.
And how many years has it been since the Cubs have won a World Series?
More than at least two of us or three of us combined have been alive.
Right. And so, and we can we all remember 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series.
Yeah, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth, but I do remember.
And how about Morneau, who's on the White Sox now?
You know, love to see him do well. Hate him in that uniform. It makes me sad.
I do. I mean, the Twins suck this year.
We're so bad.
They are so bad. But I do. But most years, I hate seeing it when the White Sox go to Minnesota to play because they usually get their butts kicked.
Oh, it's like they leave their gloves at home and get drunk on the way there. It's amazing. They're so awful in Minnesota.
If you guys could start talking about leadership. Guns, cattle, dogs,
so that you can
agriculture.
Rejoin. It felt like a pressing question to me because I don't know a lot of, I know a few leaders who are White Sox fans, and I feel like I should probably pray for you guys more often, but it still baffles the mind to me that somebody can be, you know, a godly, upstanding leader and root for that team.
Well, it's all throwing me off a little bit because I'm used to having to defend myself against Cub fans. I'm just not used to the onslaught from a – it's just a little different angle from a Twins fan.
Yeah, with the second worst record in baseball.
Oh, we were talking about baseball.
That's right. All right, well, let's land this plane. So, Dave, thank you for being on with us, for talking about helpful things as well as a few bits of nonsense as well. So thanks for your time and your insights and being a friend of Lifeway Leadership. And our apologies for taking forever to actually invite you to be on this podcast.
My pleasure. And let's not wait another 127 times to do this.
Yes, done. Let's not. And for listeners, thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. We appreciate your support, especially when you get on iTunes and leave us a rating and review, but we appreciate you all the time. Feel free to tweet at Todd Adkins or at Barnabas Piper with questions or feedback or anything. Use the hashtag 5LQ. That's how we can find any tweets about the podcast and respond to them and favorite them and retweet them and all those things. So we love to interact with you on that.
I'm going to say one more thing.
Yes.
I did tweet through Finding Your Way Back to God. So it's like Finding Your Way Back hashtag. If you look at that, you'll see, you know, some of the quotes I pulled out. But it really, Dave, it really is a great book. And I'm not just saying that because you're a friend and you're on our podcast right now. It really is a great book.
So it's hashtag Finding Your Way Back.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, listeners. So you can go, listeners, you go search that hashtag on Twitter. You can see the quotes. And then obviously go check out Dave's book, Finding Your Way Back to God, and get that as well. So we will have that in the show notes along with links to Dave's church and new thing and his other books as well. So go to the show notes at lifeway.com/leadership. Check those out. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time.
Don't forget to try our free app on your phone or tablet. Just visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store.